Thank you, Janelle. Thank you, team. Holy Spirit, guide my vision. That's really what this message is about. Living by the Spirit. We've had over the last number of weeks, living by the law, living by the flesh, living by the Spirit. In this next slide, I ask Alex to highlight a couple things on this slide of just the freedom that is found in Christ by the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a message about the freedom found in Christ when a person lives by the Spirit. There's an observation that when people first have freedom, they struggle to know how to use freedom. Whether it's a child that's grown up in a very restrictive home and suddenly they're out and they're in college and just go wild and then get beat up by life. Whether it's someone coming out of the military who they've been told what to do all the time and suddenly nobody's telling them what to do. Someone who's been in prison as they come out. There's a struggle often with newfound freedom, and such it is in the book of Galatians as well. As we've been journeying over these last few weeks, it starts with the gospel. The gospel is this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the good news. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, the good news is that Christ loved you enough to die for you so that you might have his righteousness and be ready to meet God and walk with God and have his Spirit in this age. And most of this message is directed towards people who have already put their faith and trust in Christ. But I never want to make that assumption. If you're here and maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never really received Christ, as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. But our particular focus in the book of Galatians is not upon salvation, but it's upon how now to live as a follower of Christ. And we started out 2 weeks ago talking about living by the law and recognizing that trying to live the Christian life by law is really a different gospel. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm astonished that you so quickly are deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." And we finished that message by looking at Galatians 2:20, and I challenged people to memorize it. And I've had people coming up to me and saying, "I am crucified with Christ, you know, and yet I live." It's very exciting to hear people taking that challenge. And then I say to people who've taken that challenge, "Okay, now that you've memorized it, God now can use in your life. God won't bring to remembrance things you've not memorized. As you memorize it, now beginning to put it into practice, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? And the fact that you continue to live, and what kind of life do you now live?" And, you know, this is where freedom is found. Freedom is found in being crucified in Christ. Last week you talked about living by the flesh, the self-effort, you know, and we were told to beware of relying on the works of the law. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this: did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" A little bit later, he says, "All who rely on works of the law are under a curse." And we had that big list. If you are trying to be good enough in your Christian life for God, if you're trying to live by the law, by human effort, you're under a curse. And there's a big list of other things that were none of which were good. And the challenge was that the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith in Jesus Christ, faith in what God has provided. Righteousness is attained by faith, not by works. And the end of that message, the particular focus, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. I love this next part. Only faith working through love. One translation says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Well, that brings us to this particular message on living by the Spirit. It was the desire of the Apostle Paul that Christ would be formed in those who were followers of Christ. He said, my little children, now ladies, you might get a little upset with him on this, just say, my little children for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. This great desire. You know, people profess Christ, they're newborn babies in Christ, but it's all of the resources of God are there to make you like Christ. I read this this week. The goal of discipleship is to see those we disciple be transformed into the image of Christ. It comes out of the Life on Life Ministries that many of us are familiar with. You know, but in living by the Spirit, it's a call to freedom. It's a call to freedom. In Galatians 5:13, it says, you were called to freedom, brothers. It's really a declaration, not of independence, but a declaration of dependence on the Spirit of God to lead you into a life of freedom. And you need to beware of the slave traders. There's a lot of different slave traders out there that appeal to the flesh in many different ways. But we want to talk about what is the purpose for which this freedom has been given to us. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Here the flesh isn't talking about the energy of trying to keep the law. Now here the flesh is talking about, well, it doesn't matter how I live, so I can just do what I want, I can say what I want, I can go where I want because I'm in Christ. And it says, you don't understand. If you start to live that way, you will be consumed by your flesh. If you think freedom means that you can just do whatever you want, you have not yet begun to understand the gospel. And next fall, we're going to dive into the book of Romans. And in Romans 6, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, may it never be. The freedom you have is the freedom to live the kind of life that God desired for you, to live the kind of life that is in God. That's where freedom is found. In one sense, you are either going to be a slave to sin and from that experience death, or you're going to be a slave to righteousness and from that experience eternal life and the fruit of the Spirit. So the purpose of freedom is through love, serve one another. That is the purpose of freedom. We've been called to freedom. That's the purpose of freedom. You know, the path of freedom. And this next part, Galatians 5:16, was and has been one of the most impactful verses in all of Scripture in my life. And I really want to challenge you to make this particular verse part of your thinking. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, or you won't fulfill the lusts of the sinful nature. I remember when I was first challenged in this, and it was Dr. Henry Brandt and the Heart of the Problem that challenged me. I need to tell you just a little bit. He's one of my heroes. He wasn't a guy that was warm and fuzzy. He was very direct. Many people were scared of him. But He had come to Christ, and Christ had changed his life. He ended up earning a master's and a doctorate in clinical psychology. And he talks in the Heart of the Problem about studying that one on one hand and studying the scripture on the other, and saying, well, they both identify the same problems, but their solutions are vastly different. And he came to the conclusion that the answers that the world gives to the problems of humanity are found wanting and will never lead to true freedom. Where in Christ, the answers are there. And he was a counselor for our mission. He did it at his own expense for 40 years. He was a businessman, and he was once in our home to deal with problems. He was a counselor for our mission because the biggest problem missionaries have is getting along with one another. And so he came to deal with some problems, and he stayed in our house. No pressure there. He would make observations that were hard to deny. But this point of walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh. And one thing I found in one of his writings was this. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Is the victory over the flesh is not to be attained. It is to be received by faith. No matter what it is that threatens you, if you walk in the Spirit, you can turn around and face your enemy. You can take him by the tail and find him helpless and harmless in your hands, for God has already bruised the serpent's head. In other words, to walk in the Spirit is to assume by faith the victory with which he credits you. God will vindicate your assumption and make it real in your experience. You have to take it by faith that the victory has been won and now you're identifying with Christ. But now listen to this next part. This is what was so helpful to me. Now the devil loves to invert truth and turn it into a lie, and probably what he's saying to you is this. Try not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh and God will reward you with his Spirit. It does not say that. What it says instead is live by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of sinful nature. He goes on to say, the devil knows that in this way, if you focus on not fulfilling the lusts of the sinful nature, you'll be preoccupied with yourself instead of with Christ. Dr. Henry Brandt also is a contributor to self-confrontation, and particularly in the area of focusing on Jesus rather than sin and focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit. Many people get sin-focused in their Christian lives, and that will just take you down. But rather being Christ-focused and learning what's involved in being led of the Spirit. Now, this is a particular focus of my ministry. If I could do two things and help you in two things in your life, this would be really great. One is finding how to get things from God's Word for yourself. And week after week, I try to model that and tell you how I'm getting things and showing you, okay, here they are. You can get these for yourself. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to see these things and see how they fit together. And learn to feed yourself and not just be fed by others, but then also learn what's involved in living by the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lusts of sinful nature. If those two things are true, just think about it. If you're a person who knows how to feed yourself from God's Word, is still part of the body and it benefits from that, but you're not totally dependent on that. You can cook for yourself, so to speak. And then if you are growing in your understanding of what it means to be led of the Spirit, there is no limit to what God will do in your life. There's absolutely no limit because God is limitless. This morning, Chris and I were praying together, and she said to me from something she was reading, God created the world in 6 days and after that he rested. But after sin came in, God has never rested. Jesus, when he was on earth, said, my Father is all working and is always working, and I'm working up till now. The Spirit of God is always working within us to shape us to be like Christ until that time when we see him face to face and we are like him, for we see him as he is, and we are his people and he is our God, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is God's great desire. You know, later in Galatians 5, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Let's not be conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. You know, the path to freedom is to live by the Spirit and to crucify the flesh. You know, we talked about this already. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's said this way in Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And this is a very difficult passage to translate. I actually spent some time talking with Tim Marcy. He's a Greek scholar. And said, Tim, I want to understand what this means. And got like an hour input from all of his research. It's the idea that when you place your faith in Christ, you are identified with Christ, and therefore you are in Christ. When the death he died on the cross to sin, you're identified with that, and you take this by faith. You take this by faith that you're identifying with Christ. You come to God day after day saying, search me, try me, test me, show me any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. And then I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the Christ life. Well, let's look at the results that you will find of this freedom. And I'm choosing to focus on the positives. I know that there's a lot in here about the works of the flesh are evident, but we're going to focus on what's involved in keeping in step with the Spirit. You're going to bear fruit. And by the word, that word is singular, not plural. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. If you are led of the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is in control of your life, this is what your life will look like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what your life will look like if you are being controlled by the Spirit of God. If you're in step with the Spirit of God, this is a type of thing that's going to show up even when you're under pressure. Even when you're under pressure. In Dr. Brandt's book, he asks some questions. I'll never forget reading them. They were transformative in my life. The first one was, why would anyone turn their back on an inner life like that? What would be so important in your life that you wouldn't want and do everything you could to experience an inner life of love and joy and peace and patience? What would be so important to you that you would turn your back on that kind of a life? Well, he asked some other piercing questions that were, at the time, were mind-blowing to me. One of them was, why are Christians not in the least embarrassed over the absence of peace and rest in their life? I remember I didn't have peace and rest in my life. I was a missionary, had been a Christian for over 10 years, was under a lot of pressure, and some of the words he used were exactly what I would be saying. I am stressed. I am pretty anxious. I'm worried. I'm angry. I'm unhappy. I'm afraid. And he asked this question, why are you not embarrassed about that? If that's your approach to life, when under the Spirit's control, even in the most dire of circumstances, you could have peace, joy. Jesus said, in this world you have trouble. Be of good cheer, have overcome the world. Why are we not embarrassed about that? I became very embarrassed and have spent the last 25 plus years of my life trying to understand what does it mean to live by the Spirit, and can I tell the difference? Can I tell the difference? And do I quickly recognize when I'm not living by the Spirit and repent and confess and ask forgiveness and go back to living by the Spirit? You know, when you're getting what you want, it's pretty easy. It's when you're not getting what you want, when life is difficult, when bad news comes your way. I never forget a story of Hudson Taylor. He just heard about missionaries who were taken captive, and, you know, I mean, it's terrible news, and if you read the story of Hudson Taylor and what happened in China, it was a lot of that. And his secretary then heard him singing in his office, and she went in and said, "How can you be singing at a time like this?" And his answer was, "Do you think I would be more effective if I was worried and fearful and anxious, or if I chose to worship the Lord and sing unto Him and seek Him and find His power? Which do you think would be a better approach to this problem?" Isn't that a great question? Isn't that a great question? Well, what else will be the results of freedom in Christ? Bearing fruit, but bearing burdens. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual," who are they? They're the people who are living by the Spirit. They're the people who the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in their life. These are the people who are to restore them with a spirit of gentleness. They're also supposed to watch themselves that they aren't tempted. And I will tell you, when you're trying to help other people, sometimes you get in the mud with them, and then you have to deal with yourself and go and ask forgiveness, and that's a real thing. And some people say, "You know, I really don't want to do that. I just want to live a quiet life. I don't want to be in the midst of other people's problems." I do not believe that you can walk in the Spirit and approach life that way, because these things are connected. We do a lot of work in training people in how to do this and how to do it well, according to God's word. But I do not believe that part of the fruit of the Spirit, part of freedom, is to just go live a self-centered life. I don't believe the Spirit of God enables people to live self-focused lives and doesn't reward this inner life with people just living for themselves. We put a resource in the e-news. It's a resource, "The Role of the Holy Spirit in Discipleship." It's about 16 pages long, and it's very, very thought-provoking. And I'd encourage you to look at that, because this message is to challenge you not only to walk by the Spirit, but then to be used of God in the lives of others, because that's what we're called to do. Now, this next part might feel self-serving, but it's in the Scripture, so I need to share it. One of the results of freedom is that you share all good things. Verse 6 says, "Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." Millsville Bible Church does a great job of seeing that us as pastoral staff are cared for at the same level as the people that live among us, and I'm very thankful for that. If I had my way, I would serve the Lord at my own expense. That's what Dr. Brandt did, and maybe someday the Lord will enable that. But for now, I need to be paid for the work that I put in, because it's a really, really full-time job. You know, it's not something to do on the side. But it is one of the things to think through, that if you're being benefiting from the teaching of God's word, you have a responsibility to give. Right? You have a responsibility to give. It's part of keeping in step with the Spirit. And then last of all, in verse 9, It says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. One of the results of the freedom in Christ will be you will have a focus in your life of desiring to do that which is good, to share, to love, to be concerned for all mankind, but especially those who are in the household of faith. Now, these are the results that are to be expected from being led of the Spirit. Well, it's been a long road. We're coming down to this. I hope in some way what I've been communicating will bear fruit in your life to some degree in every one of your lives. Just in thinking through these thoughts, is your life characterized by the works of the flesh or by the fruit of the Spirit? I said I skipped over them, but I'll read them now. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, which is living by your feelings, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. Here's one that really got me: fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'll say to you, don't look at the list and say, well, I don't do this one, I don't do that one. Uh-oh, there is a couple on here that do characterize my life. If there's any on this list that characterize your life, you're living by the flesh. Or is your life characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? There's no law against such things. God's desire is for Christ to be formed in you. And that is a particular focus of my ministry with Chris, and of course as a church in general. But some of the trainings we do are particularly focused on that area of Christ being formed in you, you learning to live by the Spirit. It takes training. It doesn't just happen. Just because you know it doesn't mean you know how to do it. And it is our desire, it is God's desire that Christ be formed in you. And so the question becomes, what steps will you take to live by the Spirit? If you identify that your life is really characterized by living by the flesh, you know, this question, Dr. Brandt's, why would you give up such a wonderful way of life? Why would you give up living by the Spirit? And I will testify through the years, God has changed me drastically. One of them recently was the Trust Project. I knew it was a massive undertaking. I never once gave way to fear. Never once. As a work of God in my life. It's certainly not me. I'm going to testify to you that as you take steps to live by the Spirit, God will do amazing things in your life if you choose to live by faith. I want to challenge you as a last memory verse from Galatians. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I'd like to read a benediction that's from 2 Corinthians. It says, aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you.